You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. Well, today is the first day in 2 weeks. There'll be little talk about the Democratic and Republican convention. The Republicans had their grand finale last night. They're over. So what did you take away from the last 2 weeks? Did any of it change your mind about the Democrats or about the Republicans, or are you just simply relieved? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or, you know, write us something. Send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. John?
We'd love to hear what you think of John McCain's speech last night as well. A lot of you reviewed the speeches last week in Denver and Sarah Palin's speech earlier this week. We have 9 more weeks or more or so before we actually get to go to the polls in the United States and elect a new president. But Pakistan picks a new president tomorrow. And the front runner in that race is Asif Ali Zardari, widower of Benazir Bhutto. He's not a household name like Pervez Musharraf, but there was a time when Pervez Musharraf wasn't much of a household name in the United States as well. This is a relationship definitely in transition in a region of the world that has suffered extraordinary instability dating back well before 9/11. Joining us to help explain the significance of this election and how it will actually take place is MJ Gohel, who's the executive director of the Asia Pacific Foundation. He's speaking to us from London. Mr. Gohel, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, John.
First of all, who will pick the new president? It's not the entire electorate of Pakistan, is it?
No, the system is quite different from the USA. In Pakistan, the president is elected by an electoral college consisting of the members of the both houses of the National Assembly, its parliament. It has an upper house and a lower house, and also by the members of the 4 provincial assemblies. They elect the president. The people of Pakistan play no role. The 160 million people play no role in the election of the president.
So what does this mean for the relationship that U.S. and Pakistan have? I mean, the Musharraf-Bush relationship, which really at certain points defined the so-called war on terror, it was sort of it. It's a very different situation if Asif Ali Zardari should win, and it's certainly been a very different situation in the last couple of months leading up to this election. What do you think is possible going forward?
Well, the relationship is very much in the melting pot to some extent, because when Musharraf left, Washington was really left with no one to speak to. I mean, they were hoping to speak to Benazir Bhutto, the former prime minister of Pakistan, but she was assassinated at the end of last year, which brought into the public limelight her husband, Zardari, who actually has no real experience in politics. The other candidate is Nawaz Sharif of the PMLN party, but Washington has never liked him because they feel that he is perhaps not too friendly and maybe not too helpful, and then there is no one else. So the U.S. has now been left with no one to talk to other than perhaps Zardari, who is expected to win the presidential election in Pakistan tomorrow.
And he has some, sort of troubling details in his past, including some mental health problems. But I guess both candidates in this race are campaigning on an issue of distancing themselves from the United States. I mean, that's really the populist issue going forward, right?
Well, yes, I think officially they take this line, but unofficially, and everyone knows this, is that they are entirely dependent on U.S. aid. General Pervez Musharraf was the beneficiary of over $10 billion in U.S. aid, plus covert supplies, plus military supplies, plus debt write-offs, and so on and so forth. So that aid will still continue to Pakistan, to the military, but it may now be aid with strings attached. I think the new U.S. president, whoever it is, and the Congress, and the Senate and Congress, I mean, they will, I don't think, be as generous in handing money out to Pakistan in the way it has happened in the past.
MJ, let's talk about Zardari for a second. He's kind of a messy candidate, if that's the right word to use. He's faced corruption charges not only in Pakistan, but in Switzerland and also in London. And his defense against some of these corruption charges has been that he is emotionally unstable, that psychiatrists have actually handed over affidavits to the court in support of that. So is there any question as to whether or not he is psychologically fit to lead?
Well, Adora, I think you raised some very interesting points there. He is a very colorful character. He has spent some 10 years in jail on corruption charges. When he was first arrested in 1990, he was accused of tying a remote control bomb to the leg of a UK-based Pakistani businessman named Murtaza Bukhari, and he sent the businessman into a bank to withdraw money from his account because Zardari wanted his kickback, his commission. In Pakistan, Zardari is known as Mr. 10%, though it's more like 25%, because I think inflation has kicked in there also.
Well, and then is that 10% of sanity or 10% of the accounts in Pakistan? There's really a time bomb ticking in Pakistan economically with about $6 billion in foreign exchange and spending it at $2 billion per month. There does appear to be a breakpoint fairly, short term here. How's the election going to deal with that?
Well, John, this is, again, a very good point. Pakistan has been mismanaged for 10 years by General Musharraf. As I said, $10 billion in aid were given by the U.S. Now, that's disappeared down a black hole. Pakistan is currently running a 7.2 budget deficit, and foreign currency reserves are depleting. On the recent trends, it looks like that the IMF will probably have to bail out Pakistan. And of course, in all of this, the 160 million people of Pakistan are getting very frustrated.
Well, frustration is certainly going to be a theme of this campaign, and I suspect instability and uncertainty feature of the relationship going forward between now and the U.S. election. MJ Gohel, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Executive Director of the Asia-Pacific Foundation, MJ Gohel, spoke with us from his office in London. And Femi, you have the headlines.
I do. Thanks, John. 29 minutes past the hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.